Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining us right now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline, he is Zach Jackson of The Athletic. You are one half of why I pay for this thing every month, so thank you for taking time out your busy day to join us. How are you?
I'm good. I'm back in Ohio. I was headed to Colorado for the pro day yesterday, and the airlines and the weather didn't quite get me there, so made a detour. I'm home. The circuit is over. The Browns are coming back, and decision time is near.
Zach, yeah. Where did you get stuck?
Yeah, I was going to ask the same thing.
In Dallas. So I was coming from the meetings in Florida, and I made it to Dallas. And apparently Denver was down to one runway. So there were a bunch of delays and a couple of cancellations. And then by the time I could have gotten there yesterday, I really wasn't going to make it to Boulder in time. And so I was able to just change to getting back home. So like I said, it's over for them, too. They're going to have some more visitors in the building, but I don't think, you know, barring something crazy, I think they're actually going out and seeing is done. So we're to the final stage of the process, and these 3 or 4 months feels like 3 or 4 years, but we're home. This is what we're comfortable with, right? When we're talking Browns, it's just been a while.
Yeah, Zach, man, you know, take us through what's going to happen today. Shedeur Sanders will be in Cleveland today. The Browns are going to host a private workout. I assume
he will not be in Cleveland. It will be at Colorado.
Oh, it's going to be at Colorado. So that'll be a private workout and things like that.
Yeah, so they're allowed a certain amount of visitors, which is 30-plus guys with local ties. But when you come to the facility, it's meetings only. It's medicals. It's classroom work. It's just going around hanging out. If you want to do a private workout with a guy, it has to be on his campus or another campus that's signed off and agreed upon. So the whole Browns contingent went out there to meet with the Sanders family, the Hunter family, watch the workout, and then Shedeur's private workout will take place. And like I said, this should be the last one on the schedule.
Zach, I read Mary Kay's piece over at Cleveland.com where she got some quotes from Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski, and there was a lot of pretty, you know, excited remarks with Andrew Berry even saying, like, can I have both of them? I know you and I have talked about this a little bit throughout the offseason, like how excited or in on these guys the Browns really are. But do you get the sense that the Browns and their scouting department, Barry Stefanski, the people in charge, like Shedeur as much as they make it sound like they like Shedeur, or is it more of a strategic sort of commentary on it?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a very small chance that they like Shedeur enough for him to go at number two, right? And I just don't think that's the case. Now, I don't know what they're thinking is, and I'm not slamming the door on anything, Spencer, for this reason. Like, go back to January or even before, probably like October, right? And I think a fair thought is, hey, we're in this spot because we flopped with the quarterback, right? We determined the quarterback was the most important position. We gave up the farm and we flopped. So while we're here and we never planned to be here, I think it's a perfectly logical and sensible thought to say you take the quarterback and you move on, right? So I'm not ruling out revisiting that thought. But I just believe that the cost of doing that and taking a quarterback who's not clear-cut that kind of talent and you don't know what his timeline for performing would be, I think the cost of that would be passing on an Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter or a chance to do that. So I think if the Browns land on Shedeur Sanders, and again, this is my thought, that it would be in a trade, 12 spots back, 18 spots back, or 15 spots up into the first round. Right. So I think that with a pretty fair level of certainty that either Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter is going to be the Browns pick, and then the search will be on. And then it's out of Shadur, Tyler Shuck, Jackson Dart, you know, Jalen Milroe, who do they like most? Where do they think they have to move? And what are their other options? Because it doesn't even need to be at 33 necessarily. So
yeah.
I think the most likely scenario is Hunter or Carter and then quarterback at 33, but I don't think they're tied to that. I just feel like maybe 80% or more level of certainty that a quarterback is not going to be the pick at 2.
You alluded to this already. This is going to be my follow-up. So what type of appetite do you think they would have to potentially trade back up into the first round? Because I think about it from the standpoint of like Zach, like if he falls into the teens and like that almost feels too high to go, right? Because you got to give probably up like both your third rounders this year on top of like just in terms of value, you're giving up more to get back up into the teens to get him. But it feels like if he gets to like 20, okay, now we're talking.
Okay, yeah, you're not to get back in the first round period, you're not even in the galaxy. You're giving up a huge, it's the quarterback tax. You're giving up a huge, yeah, are you probably giving up both third rounders as part of that package, but you're not getting away with just giving up those.
Right,
you're giving
up
at minimum a future 2 and probably a future 1 in addition to pick 33 to get back in the first round. So,
that's a lot. Yeah.
But Spencer, it really comes down to how much do you like the guy? And, you know, we don't know this answer, and this is part of why, like, we can have great discussions about this, but we don't know what they're thinking. You know, sometimes there's an offensive tackle or a tight end or a safety or whatever who falls or who you really like and becomes available for whatever reason, the guy that's already in the league, and you just say, hey, let's take this opportunity. But a quarterback, it has to be so much more calculated, right? And so with all of these guys, who do they think is ready to play? Who do they think needs more time? Who really impressed them with his football acumen and leadership skills in there? So you're almost picking out one above that crowd, and then you're saying, this is the one. If we have to give up a future one and get up 14 spots and get him, we'll do. But if you don't have one above that crowd, or if the guy you like, you feel like is still going to be there in the second round, then you're not forcing it. And we're just not going to know that answer. I mean, if the Browns come home today or tomorrow, super impressed with Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter, I absolutely think there's a feasible scenario where they could take Travis Hunter and get back into the teens and get Shedeur Sanders. But I don't, you know, it would have to take so many dots connecting for that to happen. And then it would take a hefty price. So, you know, I honestly kind of think it goes player at 2, offensive tackle at 33, and then the move to get a quarterback is on.
You know, that wouldn't be a bad setup. I've seen actually a few mock drafts that had them taking the tackle from Oregon at the top of the second round. Zach, when you look at this mock draft, damn near every mock draft has the Browns taking Abdul Carter at 2. And I'm going to try to set this up right. In my opinion, when I look at the edge rushers and the pass rushers, they're plentiful. Like, you might not get Abdul Carter-type talent, but you can get somebody that can step in and be a contributor right away. When as you look at the crop of wide receivers in the corners, and it's like Travis Hunter, and then he's above everybody else. Why do you think that they're still mocking Abdul Carter in Cleveland over Travis?
Well, I think probably if they like Abdul that much, I think the answer lies in how you laid it up there. There's a bunch of them, but this guy's special, right? And he showed it last season in his first year playing full-time on the edge. He showed it in the big stage in the college football playoff. And if he's really in that discussion, and he's always been the guy the Browns have had up top their board, it's because they think he can be that. And then it because they would think then that this is a player that, even though we just extended Myles Garrett, even though we have glaring needs on the offense, getting this player gives us a chance for multiple years to have blue chip talent paired with a Hall of Famer, right? It gives us a chance to use his versatility as things evolve, regardless of what the scheme is going forward or regardless of what we decide. And I do think, you know, I'm just kind of talking in circles here to give you some sort of answer here. I do think that they are taking a long-term approach, and they feel like at the top of this draft, they have to get two guys who are going to be part of the future and not necessarily the most urgent needs for 2025. And so that's why I think taking Abdul Carter and taking an offensive tackle with the first 2 picks is a much more realistic scenario than A, a lot of people are talking about, or B, that it feels like right now. Like, everybody who says this is the worst offense in the history of modern football, and this team needs answers offensively, is exactly right, right? But, like, is Travis Hunter a full-time wide receiver? You know, is there a quarterback that is your answer right now, your answer? Because the number two pick, he has to be that.
Yeah.
Right? So I think a fair conversation is, why wouldn't we just take a knockout player at first, then a lineman really on either side, and then we go about taking our chances with the quarterback or filling in the blanks? I think sometimes it's easier to fill in the blanks at the offensive skill positions than it is to really get kind of these anchor guys. And I think that they're not going to use the word rebuild. And in fact, every time it gets brought up publicly, they push back against it. But I mean, let's look at the reality of the situation here. This team's best players are all in the neighborhood of 30 and have either bloated or short-term contracts, with Miles being the exception of that. But Miles turns 30 in December.
See, this
so you're not, you know, that's just how I look at it.
This is why I like talking to you, Zach. You keep it 100. Like, as I hear you set this up and you talk about, okay, these should be the picks because you have to start building for the future. I think you're setting a realistic expectation for this fan base, because a lot of people still have this thought process that the Browns somehow, some way, can come out and be a competitive football team this season. When the truth is, you're probably going to have a quarterback that you get in the second or the third round, and he's going to be battling it out with Kenny Pickett, and that's how we're going to roll this year. People might not want to hear that, but it feels like that.
Yeah, no, Earl, we could sit here and talk about it, and you could lay out a scenario where this Browns team wins 9 games, right? And I could buy it. Maybe not today, but with some moves. With some moves, yeah. 3 weeks from now and 2 months from now, and these moves in 3 weeks being right, like I can buy that. But I think we all believe that much more likely is that it's another fourth place season. That, you know, it comes down to who you get at quarterback. I mean, the reality is this team right now is a 0 of 10 at the most important position in sports. They have one quarterback who's healthy under contract, and that's Kenny Pickett. So it can change. And maybe this offensive line that's older has one great go in them, and just running the ball and not turning it over every time and turning it over to your defense gives you a chance to win. And that's all feasible to me, right? This team should not have been as bad as it was last year. But this team has major questions across the roster, both in the present and the future. Across, like I said, at nearly every position, and is a 0 of 10 at quarterback. And teams that are a 0 of 10 at quarterback have nowhere to go but up, but they don't often win 10 games.
Talking with Zach Jackson of The Athletic on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Zach, we know the Browns have been linked to Kirk Cousins for a while now, pretty much since like the end of last season. But the situation's complicated by the no-trade clause, what the Falcons are sort of looking for in a trade if that were to happen. We know there's not going to be likely anything that happens on that front until after the draft. Would you say at this point Cousins is still a plan A for the Browns, or is it more of a backup plan, and how does that impact their draft, you think?
Yeah, I would say he's probably plan A, but I would not say it's like A1, and there are complications still. Obviously, if they draft a quarterback at 2 or trade back into the first round, Kirk Cousins probably is not coming here. But if they wait and they need a starter and Kirk Cousins wants out of Atlanta, which he has pretty much made clear, it makes sense. And the complications are there, and they're multiple, but they can be worked on. That's salary share. That's reasonable compensation. That's the Falcons doing what not just the Browns but the entire league always thought they would do, which is let the man walk because they replaced the man. Right. So the Falcons decided to kind of buy a draft pick and buy themselves time and buy themselves leverage. And so, Spencer, it could be 3 weeks from now. It could be on the last day of the draft. It could be 3 months from now. You know, I think they eventually will trade Kirk Cousins. But their stance is, we don't have to do it. Come get him. The Browns' stance is, I think, always been, hey, let's get this guy and let's get a baseline level of competence out of him and let's see. So, you know, is there some sort of pick swap and salary share that can be worked out and it can happen? Yes. But I'm done calling it a near lock, because it's not just one thing, you know. And like I said, because I'm not completely slamming the door on the Browns using a first-round pick on a quarterback, or the Browns taking on a completely different direction to where this season really kind of doesn't look like that they even want those 8-9 wins, if Kirk, you know, then I'm not calling it a lock, but I still think that it's always probably been plan A, And then the understanding is that you just don't get plan A a lot, and you have to be ready to adapt multiple ways from that.
Zach, we need to find somebody that's going to play wide receiver opposite of Jerry Jeudy. Of course, if they draft Travis Hunter, he'll have a package or probably full-time. But I think Nathan had bought up Elijah Moore. Can you speak to anything? Are the Browns considering bringing Elijah Moore back on a contract? You think there's still something there that possibly can work here?
I mean, I think the fact that he remains a free agent says that that is a possibility. I think it's a strong chance that the Browns are going to take Travis Hunter at number two and play him primarily as wide receiver. If they take Abdul Carter or they go another route, I believe they're going to draft Isaiah Bond from Texas in the third round. You try to utilize his speed. So see, there's layers to everything here, right? Because obviously they're not taking a receiver at 67 if they take Travis Hunter at two. So there are layers to that. And really, you know, with Jed Wills, I don't know this. My gut feeling is it's the knee more than anything else. But in any case, even though each free agent is his own individual situation, guys who are free agents right now are almost certainly always waiting till after the draft to see what their situation is, see what the budget is, see what a team's desperation/leverage/available money is. And you know, this is not a great receiver draft. That's kind of been the rarity. It probably means next year is going to be a great receiver draft. Teams that draft one early are not going to go for the remaining free agents. And Elijah Moore is probably not a starter for anybody. Let's just be honest. We've seen him here. We've seen Elijah Moore produce, and so have the Jets. It hasn't been consistent. He's still young. He can make people miss, and he's almost always played with awful quarterbacks. So is Elijah Moore's NFL story fully written? No, but I just don't think that he was ever a priority for anybody, or he would have landed somewhere, or that it's going to happen right away. I think the Browns know they need to try to upgrade the receiver spot, and that probably weighs into their thinking at number two.
Just a couple minutes left here with Zach Jackson of The Athletic. I know, Zach, you were obviously in Florida. You heard everything Jimmy Haslam had to say, and I think one of the big themes that came away from that conversation was this idea that they're going to be patient. They're not going to force the issue at quarterback. They're going to try to get this right as they try to – you said they won't use the term rebuild, but we know that's what it is. With that said, without implying Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski are quote-unquote safe, he kind of made it seem like they're going to have some time to sort of get through this. But would you classify it as those two are safe, maybe beyond even 2025?
I mean, my gut feel would be that, Spencer, but I don't think in this culture anybody that goes 3-14 and oversees the kind of flop that it was is safe going forward.
I agree.
You know? So I think we have to look, if I was laying it out right now, I would tell you this team's going to be in fourth place again and picking in the top five of the draft again next year. That's what I would tell you, and I would tell you that with a fair level of confidence. But taking a step back and knowing that there are multiple quarterback moves coming, knowing that they do have much more talent than most three-win teams or most fourth-place teams do at the top of their roster, right? And knowing that when you're second in the waiver order, when you have multiple picks, when you just crashed so hard because you couldn't do anything offensively, that at least a little bit of turnaround is natural. Like I said, I think that there it's fair to keep the book open on this team. And I think just having a hunger and having a competitive training camp could change so much. Last year they paid all these guys, and they went out and they jogged through camp, and they couldn't complete 5-yard passes, and everybody had their money, and everybody thought they'd arrived, right? So, like, of course, that was a very unhealthy situation. So, again, you get that competitiveness. You hit on a couple of really promising young players, and you get that hunger driving you forward. Everybody's good. This team starts 2-5. Why would anybody think that anybody's safe? You know, like, if Kenny Pickett, if this team is playing Kenny Pickett with a straight face, then nobody's safe.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Nobody's safe. And see, but Zach is right, though. And I know we got to go.
I look forward to training camp with you, Zach.
Thanks, man, for invite, like, just spending some time with us, man. You kept it all the way real, brother. And hopefully you got time in the future to join us.
All right, guys. Talk to you soon.
Yep. Thanks, Zach.
I know we got to get to a 2020. I cannot wait to react to everything he had to say. He kept it real.
Yeah.
Carlos was calling in through the whole time.
I love Zach.
Let's get
man.
To it, man. So we can get back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.